so much.
Thanks a bunch.
I just wanted to say thanks.
Thanks for listening to Wolverine Radio.
Local news, local sports, local people, Wolverine Radio. And speaking of local people, one of the reasons why Griswold is the way that it is right now. Desperate, destitute, and just really bad. Al Gear is here. Good morning, Al.
Hey. Good morning, Mike. I don't know if I should
say Mr. Jewett City.
Good morning or what?
You did it, Al.
Nice job, Al.
Yes, sir.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
No, I didn't.
No.
I actually thought you were going to somebody else in the room.
Yeah, that's kind of a surprise.
I really thought I'd get the front, but I'm glad you're here, Al. Thanks for rolling into town, Al. Great job. Hey.
Look what it says on his headphones. He is Mr. Jewett City.
He always is.
Well, look, he even had it monogrammed professionally with a Sharpie.
Yeah. Al spares no expense.
No, he does not. So what's going on, Al? You haven't really said today. You've been kind of quiet, kind of under the radar.
Well, I mean, the Patriots lost. I mean, how do you want me to feel?
I'm with you, Al. I'm disappointed.
It just sounds like somebody you'd say in therapy.
I would feel good for the NFL. Another team actually won?
Another team actually won.
You know, Philly's a good, hard team. Yeah. And if a team could win, I'm happy for them.
Did they burn the city down yet?
No, they were trying to. Philly's much sort of a lot, like a lot of ways Boston, right? Some of the atmosphere there. So.
Yeah. No. If you're a Philly fan, you can come to Fenway Park. If you're a Boston fan and you go to watch the Phillies, you're getting beat.
For the club.
Yeah, true. True that.
All right, so Kevin, so you now officially announced that you're going to run for the 45th.
That's right.
You're going to start campaigning pretty soon.
Yep.
It's obvious that Steve Micotella is going to be running against you.
Bring it on.
Which... You've never run against Steve, have you?
No, I guess that's the excitement here. The new boy in the block, new kid on the block, the young whippersnapper, he calls me, whatever his name's for me is, going against
the new kid.
New kid. Going against a seasoned veteran politician. So it's going to be interesting.
You mean the out of touch elderly person?
I wouldn't say that. Look, you know, I met with a lady yesterday who was 104 years old, who was as in touch with what's going on in the world today as many.
As anybody.
I'd say he's out of touch.
But if somebody's going to say how young you are, you can also reverse it and say how old they are.
Yeah, true. I mean, hey, look, I think I really kind of, the difference here is honestly a career politician and me. And we'll see what the difference is at the end of the day.
Gotcha.
I mean, if you see the trend across the state, the 2nd Congressional District, which, you know, the 45th is in, obviously, we did the highest numbers for Donald Trump. Now, I'd like to know, I by the way, I voted for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I support
Donald
Trump.
As did I.
And I am amazed at how well he's doing. With regards to some of the tweeting and all that stuff, maybe we could do without a few of those things. But his speech last week was amazing.
Was.
Where the country is and the direction we're going is amazing. And he's doing it all the time by ignoring the critics and staying laser focused on the future. And I just think it's great. Now, that's going to be a very big question this year. I know that the Democrat strategists are trying to make it challenge your opponents and put them commit to them whether or not they voted for Trump. Well, I voted for Trump. Of course I did.
Right.
They get it out of the way. I'm the 45th House rep. He was the 45th president.
So that makes you a racist enabler.
Well, you know, I think that's what Michael Lawler said. about Sue Hatfield.
And was that horrible? Right out of the gate.
That was horrible.
That is the most obnoxious. And now, anyone that knows Sue, and I've gotten to know her personally, we talk probably every other day. She's the sweetest, most honest person I've ever met in my life. And by the way, I'm pretty happy. I'm already committed to running with two people. That's Sue Hatfield and Heather Summers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to run our team effort like always, a normal sort of, you know, Heather and I did that before. And I think we have a success. So I guess I just can't be sexist, though, right? Because I'm just a racist, not sexist.
I
just
can't be both, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm supporting my ladies, and I wanted a lady to be governor. Themis Claridis, she announced she wasn't running, and we'll see where that lies.
I'll look at it for what it is. We were here, 10:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Right? And then I see when the article got put in the bulletin, which was about like 11 at night. Within 12 hours, this guy was attacking her and calling her a racist. Yeah. Not even 12 hours out of the gate, he was jumping on the race bait.
Yeah, and he's a guy who's a government employee, by the way. he's a government employee.
That's weak.
And for the governor not to have quickly and swiftly disciplined him indicates to me how we have a bad system. Mm-hmm. The Democratic entrenched politicians in the state of Connecticut.
He was probably told to do
Steve Mikatel being one of those guys, I think, because he served with both of those people in the House for 20 plus years. Yeah. So that's all the problem. You know, that's the system, man. We got to break the system. I'm not going to use the cliche. We're not going to drain the swamp, but we're definitely going to go back to Hartford. I mean, I put a bill in. We just submitted our bills, and you can get a list of them online. If you name off a couple, is term limits. It will never get the light of day. No one's going to want to talk about it. I put another bill in. If we don't have a budget on the day that we're mandated under the Constitution, we all forfeit our salaries.
Right.
You know, that's just common sense. You know, I guarantee you, talking points and my opponent, Steve, will say, listen, when he was a selectman, Al, do you remember this? They paid the second and third selectman, the highest paid second and third selectman in the state of Connecticut, were here in Griswold.
Is it 12.5?
It was almost 15,000 each. Mm. So we cut that budget down to 3. And, you know, I kind of see why he probably is not really a big fan of me. Because we did things that, you know, made some positive changes and, oh, well, move on. So let's get it on. 45th, let's dance.
Let's dance.
But you want to be the leader.
I want to be the lead.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of think of this more. Maybe we should have a breakdance challenge, you know, go back old school.
I think it would be great. A little pop and lock.
Yeah. Me and Steve, see who can get down and spin and do all the fun things.
What happens if he could spin on his back and then spin and do the whole around the world thing?
I'm going to vote for him. If he could do that, I'll vote for him. He's got my vote.
You're not going to do the poo-poo punch?
Yeah. If Steve Mikatel.
A dance-off. That's how we'll do a debate. Right, a dance-off. Right.
That's how they. That's how a lot of problems are solved these days.
Let's
the dance
off.
Off. Yeah,
it should be a wrap off.
Yeah, yeah. They have those competitions now on TV.
Which at MTV?
They're funny. Yeah, they're hilarious.
No more violence.
Imagine you and
off.
Steve Mikatel
dance off right here live.
That would be funny. That would be funny. We should tape a parody of that.
Yeah, I'm down with it.
I'll be Mikatel and you can we'll just do a parody.
A so. Huge rap fan. Love rap.
So I can
love
just
the rap.
See you throwing down the lyrics.
I'm gonna spit
and dropping.
I'm spitting. I'm gonna mic drop at the end and everything. Am I okay, Al?
You're all right.
All right, thank you. Al's my voice of reason.
There you go.
Yeah.
We got to do a honky-tonk little thing there.
Yeehaw.
What are we doing? We're singing or we're rap? What are we doing?
The other day I went to the school. Yo. And all I could do was smell. Stench was not good. I had to leave the room because it was Steve Mikatel.
Like in church.
Yeah. Praise the 45th. Jesus!
Praise the Lord. Good time.
Your turn. Your turn. Here's
my by proxy.
Drop a beat, you know?
Drop a beat.
I can drop.
By proxy, go ahead.
There we go. All right.
This is for Kevin Skulchik. This is called Ice P Baby.
Ice P?
You know the song?
No, but I'm listening.
Ice P Baby. Boom, 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 boom. Ice P Baby. Boom, 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 boom. I said stop and listen. Take a water pill so I'm pissing. Oh, 100 times a day, did I pee on the floor? I tell you, no way, recording the kids in the school and telling them all about the golden rule. Jealous? Well, it's a pity because there'd only be one Mr. Jewett City. Problem in the borough? Yo, I'll solve it. They call me the warden because I always resolve it. Ice P Baby. Boom, 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 boom. I'm Mr. Ice P Baby. Boom, 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 boom. I really got the pee, baby. Boom, 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 boom. I'm Mr. Ice P Baby. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, you bastard, stop.
And he might drop, too, man.
Might drop.
Todd, I'm going to sign you up. Maybe you can write a couple of our jingles for us.
That was good. That was good.
Oh, my God. Right out of the box.
Get a
little freestyling. Look at his hair. It's all a mess now.
He's just...
Don't get me on the skull check rap.
Ooh. Can you write that for me? All right. We'll skip on. So we're excited.
I'm Governor Shinehead Baby.
Governor Shinehead.
Shinehead.
I think what's going to be interesting this year is who runs for governor.
Yeah.
That's going to be the interesting. And, I haven't really met anybody right now that kind of makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
How do you think about Erin from New Britain?
Erin's a really excitable person. She's done some good things in New Britain. Her and I actually got elected when I got elected first selectman with the one vote or whatever it was. Her and I got elected that same time, and we got this little award from the Republican State Central, and got to chat with her. I chat with her since a couple times. She's really engaging.
Mm-hmm.
She's sort of a rock star. People like her and gravitate to her. I think we need to get someone that has some. We need an outsider.
Hmm.
You know, we need someone that maybe isn't involved with the games that have taken place. And I want to tell you why I say that. I've witnessed with the gun range issue so much insider game trading that we finally, and we'll be announcing a public hearing coming up really soon. We worked really hard, Heather and I, but it took us behind the scenes playing every move from a house of cards thinkable. I mean, I had to threaten right up to last week that I was going to do a bunch of things to people's reputations. And this is Republicans and Democrats. You know what I mean? So don't. If anyone thinks you go up there and your party just, you get in a row and you just support each other, it's not true. Everyone plays the game for their own special interests. And so that's why I think an outsider, someone that doesn't have that connection or that affiliation, that's who's needed.
And who would that be?
You know what? There's a few people that we're out talking to. They're going to be coming through town at some point, and the circus starts really – I'd say this circus really starts this week. Right after the Super Bowl, you're just going to be
– Name drop. Name drop one.
You know what? Well, first of all, Tim Herbst is a friend. He's a mayor – or excuse me, first selectman in Trumbull. He's not an insider in Hartford. He's like me. He's a bull in a china shop kind of guy. You know, he just says it like it is. Or maybe I'm not a bull. I don't know. But anyways, he's an outsider to an extent, but he's been around the system. I want Tim's message to be a little clearer, and then I think we have a great candidate in Tim Herbst. Mark Boughton, you know, we had him out from
Danbury.
There's a guy who's been elected year after year as a mayor in one of the largest Democratic cities in the state.
In one of the bigger cities.
And he's done phenomenal things there. I mean, he's been a very good success story. He can bipartisanly work. Mark's been around the system. He's been a legislator. I like what he's saying, but again, I don't get the warm and fuzzies for anybody. And I'm waiting for that person to come out and hopefully meet. And I think you'll have a few more announcements here. People are right on the ropes. I will tell you, the wrong solution for Connecticut is Mayor Bronin. Here's a guy who worked under the Malloy administration. And this is a Democrat, you know, sort of running. And I don't have any horse in the race on the Democratic side. But I will tell you, he's the wrong answer for the Democrats. He was in the Malloy administration. He was basically went and pushed out Segarra out of Hartford. You know, and really just bullying him out of there. It wasn't a nice thing. Got in there. Now, 2 years later, when he's failed, asked for the state for the bailout and thinks he can go to the state of Connecticut and fix our problems. That's just to me. And he will be running. Bronin will be running. And, you know, he's a nice guy. He served our country. I have no issues with him personally. I just think his policies are that of the same of Malloy. He's a Malloy appointee.
The guy from Bridgeport.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Bridgeport, he's got the felon.
Criminal.
He's definitely. Criminal. Yeah. He's, you know, but here's the bottom line. People like that guy down there. He did great things.
Joe Gannon?
Joe Gannon did a couple critical errors. But you know who actually messed up in Joe Gannon's story? Al, you might remember this. I was working for corrections, and we were doing, I did the fugitive tracking and supervision stuff, Mike. And we had this building that we worked out in Waterbury called the Now Building. And I remember when John Rowland was scared that Joe Gannon was going to run for office against him in the upcoming gubernatorial election. This was on Rowland's second term. Well, Rowland opens up a Pandora's box, and actually, he knows the good, wise guys and everyone. Well, he knew Giordano, I'm going to connect the dots here, was the mayor of Waterbury at the time, Mayor Giordano. Well, Mayor Giordano was connected with Gannon. They had this little, they got wine and suits and all the Goombas, whatever, you know,
family.
Thing. Family, right, whatever. So Rowland puts the heat onto Gannon with the feds. The feds go to Gannon. They go to Giordano, catch him having sex with two underage girls, 11-year-old girls the mother was selling to him. They did that. They videoed it out of my office in Waterbury, the FBI.
Out of your office?
they because we were shine. They would put the camera down on the street where we picked the girls up at the sick son of a bleeper right. that he is. Talk about euthanizing.
Mm.
And then they go back to Roland, and lo and behold, Roland gets the trifecta is Roland set that whole thing up after Gannon, but who got pinched in the end was Roland as well mm-hmm. for the hot tub.
Yeah.
And then it all goes down the drain from there.
But that, you know, I'm glad you mentioned politics. Roland, because I think he's another guy that if he jumped back in, he might win.
They're talking about it. People are talked about his name. Oh, John yeah. Roland's well respected by both sides of the aisle up there.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just be very clear. let me say it like it is. We don't need an insider in Connecticut for – we need 4 years to 8 years of just cleansing. We need to cleanse the system. We need to go somewhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, Roland just got 48, but but he's going to jump back in like Cianci did. You know, remember him before he died?
I don't necessarily know. He's still on probation. I don't really know how that would work. I mean, or I don't know where his status is. But again, I don't think Connecticut has an appetite for a professional politician, and especially one that's a criminal.
Yeah.
You know why Cianci was popular? Because he really did clean up Providence.
Yeah. And Gannon did clean
up
Bridgeport.
Even though he was corrupt as hell, people didn't care because it was mob style.
I like Buddy.
You clean it up, you make it neat, you don't screw around, it's a safe place to go, you get good food, you have a good time, you know, it's the mob way. And people loved it. And that's why he was so popular.
Hey, come to Providence. We're fun.
Hey, the water fire is all this.
Whacked in Providence, you know.
My wife went to school at Johnson & Wales. And
let's have a good time.
The 90s. And I remember I used to park the car. I'd have to leave a bottle of whiskey or some cheap ass whiskey for this guy that would sit there and sit in my car. Because if I didn't leave it for him, he was going to piss in my car.
Great.
So I was like, either you be nice to the guy who's sitting there. And this is how bad it was down there at Water Street. Now you go down there, all condos and, you know, it's all shopping and it's really amazing.
They have the fire thing.
The water fires are nice. Awesome. Mike's going to bring the water fires to Jewett City someday.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Actually, Al is the Buddy Cianci of Jewett City.
He is.
If you think about it.
Because, you know, he's, if you don't mess around, he's
going to
whack you.
He'll whack you.
You know, if you mess around without gear, you know what happened to you? You end up with the perch inside Patchogue. No.
The Iceman. Oh,
we can't say Patchogue Pond.
Like,
nobody knows what's happening in Patchogue Pond.
Ed Burnett comes in last week. Any new news on the Iceman?
That's not funny. That's just
it kind of is. But
that's not funny.
Well, it is a little bit.
Okay, anyway, so moving on from that. And Al?
Yes,
you're
sir.
So well-behaved.
Thank you.
You really are.
What happens in Patchogue Pond stays in Patchogue Pond, you know
that's
what I mean?
Right. That's right.
So, Mike, I'm looking for endorsements. So anybody that wants to throw out an endorsement our way to kind of get the ball rolling.
Well, there's that gun shop down the street.
Oh, they're going to endorse me.
Is he still there?
And there's a sex shop over here. On
they probably won't endorse me.
What is that, 50 Shades or something?
Yeah, 50 Shades of Skull Check.
50 Shades of Skull Check.
Well.
He's like, well. That's a different book altogether.
Well.
That's a fourth installment of the movie.
Yeah.
When we do write the book, Todd, it will have a couple chapters and really kind of clear up the air on all that stuff.
Well, since you know all that prison lingo, you probably could really add to it.
Oh, I could. So I miss the prison.
So when you're speaking of prison,
I miss prison. I know. I'm telling you right now.
Todd,
I
too.
But I told the commissioner last week that if he could come up and devise a plan, we can do a cost savings. It won't make the union's members happy. I'd go in on the weekends and work an extra shift, you know, or two, as a retired correction officer. Actually, they did talk about doing that a while back, but I would do that honor. I'd love it. I'd love it. I miss the prison, man. I'm sorry. I grew up there. 21 years old. 42. Yeah. I retired. It's where I grew up. It's what I know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I got to ask you, what's going on with Patchogue Pond? Does anybody know? I mean, I know the state police have been out there a few times. They don't seem to know where he is. They obviously can't find him. Is he there? Is he even in the pond?
You know, the answer to that question is really...
It's blowing in the wind.
Well, it's blowing, but,
the
know,
answer the reality is blowing in the
they
wind.
Have been out they have been out several times. they have been out several times. I have spoken to some of the people in the DEP hierarchy, and they definitely have gone out there and gave a real effort to find the body.
They have or have not?
They have.
Yeah.
They have. They have.
Yeah, I've seen them. I saw them on
they're not just poking sticks.
Christmas Eve.
And people, no, they have sensors going.
They put sonar on that.
Sonar going in. They're looking. They know where the current goes. They've checked areas with cameras.
Sure.
They've done an extensive search, and it's a small area. It's a small area. I'm not going to claim to be Henry Lee, and I wasn't at the scene, so I can't. I can only speculate. And that's what we're doing here. I think that's all we can do.
All speculation.
But my speculation is that when a moving object with inertia goes in one direction and it suddenly stops, usually there's a reaction to an occupant in a vehicle or on a snowmobile or on a motorcycle. First thing is you can see on a snowmobile that's not a secured cage, that individual being ejected. From word I have from people that are on the scene, there was no ejection.
No evidence
of ejection. So it's a really, really weird kind of mysterious kind of way that this happened. So as the weather breaks, I think you'll probably find some more answers. But they're doing some heavy investigation behind the scenes. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
To verify.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's funny because, you know, people will say, hey, you heard anything? Have you heard anything? And then of course, they crap on the state police and they say that, the state police aren't doing anything. But I've seen it a million times in the few years that I've been doing this, is just when you think that the state police are not doing their job, they're doing their job.
Because the guys up front aren't the guys doing the job. The guys in the back are doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so we hope to see that. I mean, for the family, you know, I've spoken to his fiance. I haven't spoken to his daughter, but I've spoken to her a couple times. And, you know, you feel for them. I mean, they're going through an emotional time. They want closure. And
sure, so, of course, of course.
And the community is starving for closure, too, because, you know, what a terrible couple of weeks there. You know, we had with all the things that were going on in the town with the fire and all that stuff.
Well, that was the next thing is do you feel there's a connection between what happened
at
Patchogue?
I didn't see that one come in that question at all. I didn't even know you were going to ask that question, Mike.
Sarcastic,
yeah. If you can't see at home.
Do you feel that there's a connection between the Patchogue Pond and the Kenwood fire?
On a connection. I will say that there's thorough investigations going on both levels. And being someone that's been from an investigative background, and Al understands, there's obviously things that aren't going to be, like you said, exposed right now. I think they're looking deep into a lot of theories and vetting them out. And at some appropriate time, we'll understand exactly what that is. But we have to allow the authorities to do their job. And I think they're doing a thorough job, speaking of which, of that separate incident. They've been over there several times, as you know, digging up and going through and sifting through parts of that property. It's a very interesting, you know, two stories that seem like they have something to do with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would think naturally, because we don't usually have these kind of, you know, huge things happen at the same time, that these two things happened back to back.
Yep, but there's
and
three.
Then people naturally try to piece them together, even though they could be totally separate things.
Right, but there's the incident in Sprague, too.
That's what I'm saying. People just, like, naturally want to put everything in one package where these could be totally individual things, you know?
I'm going to just go out on a limb and say, when the state police, Connecticut State Police, put it together, they're going to release it in a press release, and they're going to release all the evidence to anything that has to do with any of these chain events. And when they do it, they'll piece it all together for us so we understand clearly how it is. There's a lot of police work going into something these magnitudes.
I think that's evident, yeah.
So people have to be patient. You know, we all want to know now. We're in the Facebook world. What's going on? And I get it, but you got to be patient and let them
do their job. I think 10, 15 years ago, people or maybe state agencies were talking a little bit more because information didn't travel at the speed of lightning. Now it does. One person says something, it's out everywhere. Everybody knows, or everybody's been at least notified. And that's very dangerous, I would think, to this type of investigation.
Right. You know, you look at last year around the same time, we had the stabbing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out there with the two young boys.
It was a couple, really. Mm-hmm. It was Patrick McCarthy. Where was he?
Yeah, he was missing. And
then the kid in Australia.
And So we have these little events, and this is not unique to us. It's definitely everywhere, but drugs, you know, the dirty, seedy world of the drug world sometimes gets tied and played into these things. Mm-hmm. You don't know where it's going to turn, so we'll have to really just wait to hear and find out from the authorities once they come up with it.
We'll have to wait and see.
But wait and see.
People, they react to what they see. You know what I mean? So when you see a police officer sitting in the Lisbon Ford parking lot, they think the cops aren't doing anything. But they're not the guys that are the ones that are
investigating
stuff. They're the ones that go and make the arrest. So you think they're not doing anything, but there are things that are going on all the time that you don't see. So
if a police officer, and Al is a police officer, so we appreciate you and the time you served here in Jute City and helped actually dismantle the department under your watch.
AG the OG.
But you know as well as I did, and sort of my theory of corrections is we're reactive, right? I mean, we're not always out there to kick a door in every time to investigate. That's sort of a militant style policing, and that really isn't what society believes is right.
Right.
So I think people do, to Todd's point, sometimes we jump on our law enforcement and speculate. You have to give them the time. There's people that do those investigations. There's people that patrol the streets. They all have a responsibility, and they're doing their job good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the police, and we honored the police yesterday, and I don't mean to give a selfish plug, but, you know, yesterday at our pregame party, we had a young woman come in and sing the national anthem, and we did that in response to the protesters that take a knee during the football.
Mm-hmm.
And we honor the police. We love the police. And so that's kind of where we're coming. So.
Yeah. All right, my man.
All right, man. It was good talking to you. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity. I did tell you you were the first one. So
we are the world.
We got Lee Elsie later on in the week. We got...
he's my hero.
Susan Rapp. And we're going to go on Channel 3, Channel 8, Fox, Kevin Hogan. Terry Hogan.
Kevin Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
That's Terry Hogan, yeah. Terry Boulay. Terry Hogan Boulay. Kevin Hogan lives in Grizzle, doesn't he?
I think Kevin has
right around here somewhere.
Yeah, I think he's got a place where he stays.
Interest. Yeah.
Interest. Kevin's good. Actually, I can tell you, Kevin's a good guy. Kevin always offers an opportunity for us to be heard and does what he can for from Channel 3 to put us out there, and he's been very good to the town and the area.
That other dude that does the weather, Gil?
Yeah.
I don't know what channel.
Killingly.
That's Walworth's cousin.
Isn't he from Killingly?
Michelle Walworth's cousin.
Oh, we're not talking about the young man from Lisbon,
no,
are we?
It's on, like, no, Channel 3 or Channel...
I don't know.
Fox does the weather.
Yeah, one of the weathermen.
She always goes, well, my cousin Gil says it's going to be three...
Gil Santos?
I don't know who... I don't know.
No, I think...
Darby O'Gill? No,
it's not Darby. Hey, yes. It's Darby O'Gill. Hi.
Good times.
Ooh, it's coded. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Oh, my God. Let me polish your head for good luck there, Mr.
Maybe we should dress... can we dress him up on March 3rd and have him sit there and tell jokes at the pub?
That would be kind of funny.
Him would be the leprechaun. I could see him in the leprechaun.
Do you have an Irish accent now? Can I hear it?
Negative.
Can I hear a little bit so we can see?
Try it.
Pretend this is like an interview.
Oh, my God. What's going on now? I don't know.
It's actually not bad. Actually.
No, it wasn't bad. I kind of felt a little French-Canadian there, though.
Yes.
A little French. Yeah. You might want to...
Maybe some Russian.
Russian, yeah. I kind of got nervous, like lock up or...
Martian.
Al, you're the best.
Maps.
He's going to have a leprechaun suit on with a shirt that says, I hate Polacks.
And Asians. Because he does. He sits here and talks about it.
No, Al doesn't.
No.
He's a soft man.
I love everybody.
He loves everybody. You like Asian food?
Yes. I remember that one of the first days he was here. Sometimes Al will say things that Al doesn't realize that
shouldn't be on the air.
And he just said, I'm Al Gear, the kiddies, Al, the kiddies, pal. And I'm like, wait a minute.
He's like, Michael, I hate Polacks.
Yeah.
And me and Michael look at each other going, we're both Polish.